This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
AKA Boston Nuga. It's been a week in wrestling and independent wrestling. God, I don't know where to start. It's a lot of people have been very brave in coming forward with some stories that are horrific. A lot of people have been talking about some very sensitive topics, and I just want to let everyone who's come forward know that my heart is out with them, and I support the victims, and my thoughts are with everybody, and want to let everybody know that we're just here as a community for you guys. I was hesitating on doing this show, but I decided I still want to do it because I still want to be able to highlight some positive voices, and I still want to be able to highlight some people who are doing good. That may be controversial, and some people may say this is now not the time to point out the people who are doing good, but I think it still might be, because some of the voices that I'm highlighting this week, there's some good people still out there, and in independent wrestling, and independent wrestling still can bring about some good, and can bring about some smiles on faces, and can bring about some positive influences in life, and some positive things in people's lives. I know it's done really good in my life. I've been one of the lucky ones, maybe one of the few lucky ones, who wrestling has brought friends in my life, and wrestling has brought a sense of community in my life, and wrestling has brought a social network in my life, and wrestling has brought joy in my life, and moments, and experiences. And if you're listening to this podcast, maybe wrestling has done that for you too. So take a listen. I have Talon Oxen and Lee Moriarty on this week's show. They're two great wrestlers. I'm still wanting to highlight, and I'm hopefully going forward, obviously, as well, wanting to highlight some great African-American wrestlers on the show. They're two great wrestlers. Lee Moriarty especially is, boy, he's going to blow up big, man. He's going to blow up. He's going to be on someone's television screen, probably Japanese. Sometime in the near future. But wrestling can still bring about good. That's what I want to say, because I think there's a lot of bad in it. We've learned that over the last week. There's a lot of really bad things in professional wrestling, independent wrestling, and a lot of things that really suck, a lot of things that have nearly broke me as a wrestling fan, but there's still some good out there. So maybe we can take a moment and focus on that. But before we do, let's talk about what's been going on the Place to Be Nation. On the Place to Be Nation Network, on the GCW Pod Blast number 2, Drew Wardlow hosts Ryan Everett and Scott Criscolo to discuss the legacy of the Dangerous Alliance. On Jenny and the Gems number 9, the band stops in Vegas for Blackjack Brawl. On the Highway to the Impact Zone, Logan and the gang recap the debut episode of TNA Impact, as well as weekly pay-per-view number 98. On the newest episode of With This Ring, Ryan and Cindy put a bow on the GWWE list by looking at the last 6 matches. On the most recent episode of Body Press Your Luck, defending champ Ryan Everett battles James Grunenberg and Mike Poulin to a tight finish. Jake, Tim, and Jenny break down 3 episodes of NXT TV from Spring 2014 on the newest PTB NXT. On the newest Saturday special, Scott and Dr. G discuss the third face in their NWA Mount Rushmore, the Nature Boy Ric Flair. Check out the Pop feed with some great shows, include the Urine Pop, Laugh and Theater, Great Debate, Glenn Butler Hour, Podcast Spectacular, Diamond Conversations, It Was a Thing on TV, A Piece of the Action, Blockbuster Rewind, and so much more. The Jenny position is the home of the Geek and Sassy, Talk and Pop, Freak Out, Drive-In, Brother Sister Rewatch, The Journey Through Infinity, and more. And the North-South Connection is Wrestling, Warzone, No Holds Barred, The Extreme Three-Way Dance, Jeff Warren's Wrestling, The Ruthlessly Aggressive Podcast, TNA Never Dies, and more. We kicked off our stretch project with the Greatest WCW Match Ever project. Go to facebook.com/GWCW matches or on the Pro Wrestling Only message board. We have the Greatest Junk Food of All Time tournament going on. Actually, just finished, and Doritos Nacho Cheese was the winner. Go to placemenation.com every day. We have new voices and fresh takes bringing you articles in the worlds of wrestling, sports, and pop culture. If you're doing online shopping at Amazon.com, be sure to click on the Amazon banner on the right side of Placement Nation homepage or use placementnation.com/Amazon. It takes you right to Amazon and helps us out with no cost to you. Thanks again, and we will be having Lee Moriarty and Talon Oxen coming up.
I have on the show now a wrestler I really want to have on for a while. He's been called, he doesn't like the nickname, but he's been called the best wrestler in North America. He is, in my opinion, an absolute prodigy at professional wrestling. He is so ridiculously talented. He probably doesn't even know how talented he is. And like if Doogie Howser was a professional wrestler, this would be the guy. Because he is just so skilled beyond his years, it's not even funny. I am so excited to bring on Lee Moriarty to the show. Lee, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Man, dude, you're good.
I'm okay. I think I'm overhyped.
No, dude, you're as we come out of coronavirus, and if you guys are listening to the show now want a wrestler to watch on the independent scene, Lee Moriarty is your dude, because this guy is going to be making serious money sooner rather than later, because you have all the talent in the world. What is your wrestling story? What is how did you come to embrace the sport of professional wrestling?
So it was like when I was 11 or 12 years old, I was channel surfing, and I found Friday Night SmackDown. The reason I stopped channel surfing was because of the Boogeyman, actually. I saw his entrance.
That's dope.
Yeah. A lot of people like are so surprised to hear that, because I'm such a different wrestler from the Boogeyman. But I thought this stuff was cool, and it was interesting, it was different. And like I've seen wrestling before that when I was younger, but it never really captured me, I guess, because I just didn't see the right parts that got me into it until that moment.
Your wrestling is absolutely nothing like the Boogeyman. That is hysterical.
Not at all.
So, were you an athlete growing up too? Because you wrestle a really athletic style.
Kinda. Like, I am naturally athletic, but I'm not a freak athlete. So in high school, I played rugby my senior year. And then middle school, I also did taekwondo.
Oh, that's cool.
Just to have a little bit of a martial arts background.
Is that where the taiga style comes from?
The taiga style comes from a combination of different things. Like, my all-time favorite wrestler is Satoru Sayama, the first Tiger Mask.
Sure.
Then I mixed in different influences, like Wu-Tang Clan. They have a song, Wu-Tang Clan Ain't Nothing to F With. And at the beginning of it, there's a sound bite, and they're saying taiga style.
I know it
and
well.
And that's why I spell it that way. Yeah.
I know it well.
And, yeah, it's just a combination of different things. Like, the reason I always spell in all caps is because of MF Doom. So it's just, like, stuff I really like and I'm interested in, and I tried to make something of my own.
That's awesome. So at what point do you decide wrestling is a path for me?
Probably not even a month after I started watching it. I was always interested in that kind of stuff. Like, I grew up a big Power Rangers fan as a kid, and I was also an artist. So wrestling was something physical I could do that allowed me to express myself. So that's why I chose wrestling. It was just, I felt like that was the right thing for me to do.
Sure. So, and you grew up in the Pittsburgh area, right?
Yep, Pittsburgh, North Side.
Steelers fan?
I don't even watch football.
Oh, good. I was going to say, because I'm a Pats fan, man. Like, we'd be beefing. So, like... So what was it like growing up in Pittsburgh, you know, being into wrestling? Like, was it accepted to be a wrestling fan? Was it something that you kind of had to hide? What is the Pittsburgh scene like in wrestling? Was there a lot of independent wrestling around you? How was it being a wrestling fan in Pittsburgh?
So I didn't discover independent wrestling until high school, and I didn't discover local independent wrestling till probably my senior year of high school, and then when I got out, because I was looking around for wrestling schools. Like, wrestling's cool here in Pittsburgh, especially like growing up, it was cool, but it wasn't a big popular thing. Pittsburgh isn't a major city for wrestling like Chicago, New York, and stuff like that, especially like independent level. I feel like Pittsburgh wrestling is kind of a bubble, and it's not really through no fault of our own. It's just how it is in certain places, because we're not a highly traveled city for entertainment and things like that. But I think there's a lot of talent here in Pittsburgh, especially when I was watching, I knew there was good wrestlers here in Pittsburgh, like my trainers. I got to see them at a show before I actually started training, and I was entertained. It was cool.
So who are your trainers?
My trainers are two guys named Brandon Kay and Dean Radford. They've been both wrestling for like over 20 years.
So you got some veterans training you. What sort of stuff did they instill in you, both, you know, being teachers in the Pittsburgh area and being guys who were that long veterans?
Kind of finding my own way and start, like, finding my own style. So my one trainer, Brandon Kay, was probably more similar to the style I do now. But my other trainer, Dean Radford, took the path that I want to go on. He's wrestled in different countries. He's wrestled in Japan, and Japan's my end goal. So I was able to pick up different things from both of them. They had the same teaching mentality, but different styles.
Now, you mentioned Japan. You mentioned Sayama. Were you one who watched tapes growing up? Were you one who, you know, really studied, you know, Japanese wrestling and got it, you know, absorbed everything you could?
I tried to. When I started watching wrestling, it was just to watch wrestling as a fan to be entertained. I didn't think too hard about it. And then as I got older, towards the end of high school is when I really started to study it. Like, in school, I would skip class. No, I shouldn't say I would skip class, but I would skip free periods and stuff like that where you would have lunch or study hall, and I would go to a computer lab and study wrestling. I think my senior year, or right after my senior year when I graduated, is when I found New Japan Pro Wrestling through the Best of the Super Juniors tournaments because of Brian Kendrick. I was a big Brian Kendrick fan when he was in WWE, and then seeing him pop up there. And then I discovered Prince Devitt, Finn Balor, and then I just kept digging deeper and finding more Japanese wrestling. And that's when I found out that's the style I wanted to adopt, that kind of, I don't want to say format, but there's definitely a different way that Japanese wrestling is put together compared to American wrestling.
Oh, definitely.
And I always like the approach they have. So that's why Japan became my goal.
So what is it about Japan? Why Japan as opposed to Mexico? Why Japan as opposed to Europe?
I just like the way it's portrayed as a sport. So I grew up with the WWE, and as I got older, I just grew into different interests. Like if you watch WWE Monday Night Raw or something, you watch New Japan, they're very different. New Japan's very sport focused and sport oriented. And the way the crowds and the audience and everything interacts together is so different. Even like DDT Pro is somewhere, they mix everything so well, comedy and all that stuff.
DDT's wild, but, yeah.
Yeah, I love it. That's like my end goal. I should say my end goal, but my like big goal is to wrestle for DDT.
Really?
But even the way they do that, yeah, is different than the way WWE does their comedy or entertainment. And I've just always been gravitated more towards the Japanese style because of the way they did theirs.
So You trained in Pittsburgh. At what point did they send you out and say, okay, you're ready, to get your first match? What was your first match like? You know, what was the baby steps like?
I started training in February of 2015, and I think about halfway through my training, they said I was pretty ready, but they wanted to wait to debut me because there was a storyline where basically all the trainees got together with our trainer and we would take over the company. So they held off on my debut until December, where I had my first professional wrestling match.
Like a Nexus sort of deal.
Yeah, basically that was what it was. Like my trainer, Brandon Kay, was the center of the storyline. He was probably one of the most popular baby faces in Pittsburgh wrestling history, like independent wrestling wise. So for him to turn into this bad guy that was trying to destroy the company was a very big deal. And him to do it training his students in secret, like if you watch Chikara, how they had that the Crucible storyline, it was pretty similar to that.
Oh sure, okay, yeah. So you just hit the ground running at that point, or did you stay in your local promotion and get your feet wet? What, you know, you how did your first year or two go?
It was a mess, but like yeah. So my first ever wrestling match, I teamed with someone and we actually won the tag team championships at that company. So my first match, okay. I got to win a championship. So that's pretty cool. And then a few months later, I won another one. And I think it was around May or June, I suffered my first injury. I tore my labrum. not even a year in. So I had to miss 6 months of my career. I came back at the end, I think also December. So it was like either my anniversary from my debut or it was a little before. Got back in the ring and just kept going from there. It was a slow process to get back. I didn't start really traveling outside of Pittsburgh till I'd say like spring 2017 after I came back from Mexico.
Yeah, talk about Mexico, because that's not a place that a lot of, you know, kind of rookies go.
Yeah, so when I was coming back from injury, I would do seminars and stuff, and one of the seminars I did was with DJ Z, or now known as Joaquin Wild. I did the seminars, I got to know him a little bit, and it was this random day I was at work, and I remember he messaged me, and he was like, I think he said, what's my April looking like? And I had it pretty open because I only had one or two bookings at the time because I was still relatively new. He invited me to come down to Mexico. This was at the time he went down and he had that crazy injury.
Oh, yeah.
And so what happened was he set it up that I got to stay with a guy named Lowrider and Sadika. I stayed with them for a week. I trained with them. I trained with a Lucha Libre legend named El Oriental.
Oh, sure. Yeah,
traveled all around. I went to this place like Pachuca. Even my debut was in Pachuca, Mexico, and was the same arena Ultimo Dragon made his debut in, which is like really cool.
That is so cool.
Yeah, I got to do that. And I just went all around. It was a big culture shock, but it was a lot of fun learning the different styles. And I think that trip influenced me becoming Taiga style, me adopting the mask and things like that.
I was going to say, so like, I mean, you're essentially fresh out of training and they're sending you to Mexico. What does that do for your confidence?
It just was like made me more nervous than anything. Cause yeah, I don't think I ever been outside of PA until after that. Maybe I was in West Virginia once just as like a trainee going to a show, but to get on a plane, to go to another country, to wrestle is crazy. And, like, I had my trainer's blessings. They're like, you got to do this. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to do it. I didn't think I was ready for it, but it was more about me just having that learning experience instead of me trying to show out or something.
How'd you do?
It was a lot of fun. I was welcomed back, or I have the invite to go back if I ever have the chance. I got to travel all around, meet different people. It was fun, a lot of fun.
That's really cool. And then Sadika, for those who haven't seen Zona 23, had the craziest match I've seen probably in the last two or three years with Sadiq Maiden. It was in the – describe Zona 23 for people who haven't seen it. It's wrestling in a junkyard. It is they beat each other up on, like, beat-up old trucks and stuff like that. Am I describing this well, Lee?
Yeah, that's pretty accurate. And I remember – most of my shows, all but one, were outside. And there was this one show. It was like in a cul-de-sac kind of area. And I was on the team with Sadika. I specifically remember it was a trios match. Her and the other girl on the other team fighting. Them fighting on top of somebody's car. And then like someone getting, I think it was Sadika, but they like got into the car and like went like maybe 5 miles per hour and hit this girl with the car. It wasn't like crazy. But it was, I remember my opponents and me were just like watching this happen as the match was going on. Cause like, I don't know what else to do here. It was crazy. Yeah.
It's absolutely wild.
But it was a lot of fun.
And for those who haven't seen Zona 23, you need to see it once just because it's not like any wrestling anyone has ever seen. It's just, it's outside. It's in the junkyard. It's absolutely crazy. And if you're telling me that like a lot of Mexican wrestling is like this, I need to make a trip, man. Like, I need to just go and just see what this real Mexican wrestling is like, because that's a bucket list thing, man.
Yeah, the independent wrestling, it's like the Wild West down there. They do whatever they want. Like, I remember one time I fought Sadika in a match. It was another trios match. She grabbed someone's kid out of the audience and used this kid as a shield against me. I was like, I don't know what to do here. Like, I can't. Like, I just had to try to fight around that.
Oh my god.
And then they always, like, if you watch or look at pictures of street shows, you see a lot of stray dogs. That's like all over Mexico, stray dogs walking around the roofs, and there's like dogs walking ringside as we're wrestling, and it's really cool.
That's wild. So yeah. You come back from Mexico, kind of a new man, and you at that point you start to kind of travel out of PA.
Yeah. So I think the week after I came back from Mexico, I was on my first Fight TV event. It was welterweight wrestling out in Ohio. And from there, it just like slowly picked up from there. Like I would wrestle in Ohio regularly. I would wrestle in West Virginia a little bit, other parts of PA. And I think it was really last year is when I started, towards the end of that year, 2017, I like went to New Jersey once, stuff like that. But really 2018, 2019 is when I started to travel more, like Uncanny Attractions ran by Envy Young and some other people. They booked me in New York, and then I did the AIW tryout in 2019, and that opened a lot of doors for me. So it was just stuff like that. It was a slow build. People think it like happened out of nowhere, but like I was working a lot behind the scenes to get where I am now.
Yeah, AIW has been, I mean, you came on my radar through AIW, and you know, everyone who's seen you on those AIW shows, you know, was just kind of like, who the hell is this kid? He's got all the tools in the world. Like, my God, like, where did he come from? And like Pittsburgh, like we got to look into Pittsburgh, because this kid is just like absolutely talented. He's the next big thing. Like, I mean, what kind of support has AIW given you, you know, as you kind of rise to prominence a little bit here?
They've given me the utmost freedom, especially being someone new. So when I got into AIW, I passed that tryout. They just told me just be myself. When I went out there, they didn't have like a lot of places you go, they want you to be this person, they want you to do this. Like it's you, but it's their interpretation of you. AIW for the pretty much just let me 100% be me. And then from there they just keep letting me be me, keep putting me in high pressure situations, and just keep pushing me to be better.
Now, one guy you wrestled at AIW who's sort of given you his blessing, and I think that his blessing means more than maybe anyone in independent wrestling right now, is Alex Shelley. Talk about the what Alex Shelley has meant to you in your career and what wrestling him is like.
So the Motor City Machine Guns were probably my favorite tag team growing up watching TNA and stuff. Their style was so different, him and Chris Sabin. Being those cruiserweight guys, like I knew I wasn't going to be 6'4", 220. My dad's like 5'8". I'm just barely 6 foot. So watching these guys wrestle the way they do, so crisp and clean, was really cool and inspiring. And then I knew he retired, and then him coming back from retirement earlier, I think that year or so, when he came back and find out he's coming to AIW, was really cool because I at least get to watch him. I did not expect to work with him as soon as I did.
And then he's come out and publicly said, like, Lee Moriarty is the guy. I mean, what does that mean to you?
That's, like, insane to me. Because, like I said, like, I don't think I'm that good. I think I'm overhyped. So for someone to say that about me when there's so much talent is crazy. And especially that's, like, someone I looked up to. That's really cool.
Yeah. Another guy who's really backed you was Dominic Guarini. Dom's been on the show here. He's a friend. And he's, you know, his endorsement means a lot too, because he knows, you know, professional wrestling. He trains professional wrestlers. He has a great eye for wrestling. What has Dom meant to your career?
He's helped me a lot too. Even before I got into AIW, he would be on other shows I was on. He would watch my matches and give me feedback. He was one of the first people, like there was a few people at AIW that sent me the sign up for the tryout. He was one of the first few. And I remember that day when I passed the trial, because he was the one that came up and told me, like, you're on the show, congratulations. And to this day, he still helps me out, even though he annoys me with that best wrestler in America thing. He helps me out a lot.
Yeah, Dom is a great guy. He's a true friend. He's good people. He doesn't mean anything mean by it at all. He just when he believes in you, though, he believes in you. You know, he just really when he goes to bat for someone, you know, it's a true blessing. So.
Yeah, he definitely has.
One other group that you've gotten on with recently is GCW. It's been argued by most that they're the top indie in the country right now. What does that mean, you know, for your career and for you?
That's like the biggest platform you can get on. to me, in my opinion, especially independent wise, because they travel, like they've had shows in Japan. I think they were planning to have a show in the UK or something, maybe before the virus.
Yeah, they were. Yeah.
Yeah. So the fact that they're regularly traveling and they welcomed me onto their show, their first show back from this quarantine, was really cool.
I was front row, buddy. Yeah, it was great. You killed it.
Thank you.
You and Trey killed it.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And it was like, it helped a lot that I got to work against Trey because we worked before. So we were kind of familiar, so we could push our limits a little bit more. So that was really fun.
Yeah, who are some of the guys you like to work? And we just talked about Trey Lamar, who's a great talent out of the Midwest. Who are some of the other guys that, you know, you feel really comfortable with and, you know, you enjoy working?
So the two guys I think I've worked with the most in my career so far would be Trey Lamar, and there's a guy here in Pittsburgh named Chris LaRusso. I would consider LaRusso another one of those guys I'd say is a mentor to me. He's helped me a lot early in my career. He was the first guy to take me on my road trip. I've worked with him more times than I can count on one hand. He's always been helpful. Another guy is Jack Pollock. I've worked with him. He's a Pittsburgh guy. He's one of those people that just needs that one opportunity. Once he gets that one opportunity, I think everybody will know who he is. There's just a lot of, like, I've been really fortunate to face a few people multiple times and get to grow against them, like Calvin Tankman, a guy who's completely different than me. He's really good.
I was at that UWFI tournament match that you had with Tankman. Yeah. And that was the best big man, little man match I've seen in forever. That match knocked it out of the absolute park. I was sitting there, again, just sitting there front row, sitting there with Lane. And Lane and I just looked at each other and we're like, whoa, what is this?
Yeah, that was fun. It hurt a lot getting thrown around like every 10 seconds, but it was fun. It was a good experience. And to do like a UWFI show was kind of a bucket list goal because I want to be this diverse wrestler. So doing all these different styles of matches was a lot of fun. And to do it against Tankman was even more fun, even though I got like Germaned out of the ring.
Yeah, that dude threw you like a dart, like multiple times.
It's cool though. I won.
You did win. You did. You knocked him out.
I did. Axe kick, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was an axe kick. Yeah, and that was like one of the coolest upsets I've seen in a long time too, because Tankman destroyed you that whole match and then you just knocked him out. It was crazy. It was absolutely crazy. So from here, where do you see, what are your goals? Obviously Japan's a goal, but what are your goals domestically?
It's pretty much just going day by day now. Originally my goal this year, I only had one goal and that was to wrestle in Japan. Obviously that's not going to happen now because the borders are closed and stuff like that. So I have to kind of change my game plan, but I don't want to plan too much or too far ahead because, like, we don't know how things are going to change as time goes by. Like, we just reopened, but stuff's starting to close back down because of the spikes. So I don't want to set too many goals only for me to, like, not be able to reach them, not through my own fault, but just because how things are. I know realistically there are things I want to do, like PWG. That's been a goal since I was a teenager. I would watch the PWG highlights on YouTube all the time. I would watch the Battle of Los Angeles's. That's pretty much, I feel like, the only goal I have left in terms of my childhood other than Japan is to wrestle for PWG.
Now, I mean, if one of the big U.S. companies came with a contract, came knocking, you know, would you take it or would you hold out for Japan?
It's a good question. I don't know. So I feel like the way a lot of companies now run is the contracts, or at least most of them, are pretty free. Like, it's really just, we just don't want you working for this company on their television show. But a lot of them, like you see MLW, their guys still work other places like Myron and stuff like that. They're still expanding their name outside of MLW while also helping MLW grow. And then you see places like Impact and stuff. My goal is Japan. I don't want anything getting in the way of that. If someone I could sign with, if someone were offering me a contract, could help me get to Japan, that's where I want to go. But Japan is like the goal. That's my priority. So I'm not here
if Vince
for the money.
Came calling, you'd hold out for Japan.
Yeah.
Really?
Like 100. Yeah. Like, I've learned, especially during quarantine, that I, like, as much as I love wrestling, like, I shouldn't say I don't need it, but it's different than when it was when I started. I want what I want, and I don't, it's not about money for me. Like, I can make money elsewhere. This is about, like, my love and my passion for the art and the sport of it. I want to wrestle in Japan. That's the goal. I can't let anything get in the way of that. I can't let a contract buy me down and me miss that opportunity.
No, that's awesome. You're a man of principles, man. I respect the hell out of that. Like, seriously, that is mad respect. Mad respect. Thanks. Seriously. So if you are hearing this in Japan, sign Lee Moriarty. This goes worldwide. Yeah. Sign Lee Moriarty. Get him to DDT. Get him to New Japan. Get him to All Japan. Because the boy is good.
Even just one match. Like, I just want one match. That's literally it. Like, that's the dream, is just having one match, because I feel like that's the accomplishment. How hard you have to work to wrestle in Japan, especially as an American, for them to see something in you to bring you to their country to wrestle is a big deal to me.
And they just lost two feds, too. They lost Wrestle 1 and 0-1. Yeah. So it's even harder. Yeah, because I had Graham Bell on the show, and he did the, I guess it was the last 0-1 tour or Wrestle 1 tour. I guess it was. And he said his experience was wild.
Yeah, he did. They had Wrestle 1 had tryouts out here. Mm-hmm. I think he got invited. Like, I knew him, Evander James. I think Trisha Dora too.
Yeah,
they all went over there for that time. Yeah.
Yeah, I think there was. I think they brought like a dozen people out. Yeah, and there was. They said they had a great time. They got to wrestle, I think, at Korakuen. They said they had a great time. But I mean, there's still Japanese feds out there who are looking for people, and couldn't think of a better representative than you.
thanks.
Switching it up a little bit. You know, I've had a group of African American wrestlers on recently, and it's some crazy times in our society right now. And I want to give you a forum to talk about what's been going on in the world. Obviously, the murder of George Floyd was about a month ago. There's been some protests going on in the country and stuff for the last month. There's been inequality going on for hundreds and hundreds of years, and I want to give you a forum as an African-American man to just talk about what your life experience has been and what you've seen over the last month, and just kind of let you talk a little bit about what your opinions are and what you're thinking right now.
Yeah, so like growing up, I was very fortunate that I didn't have a lot of these encounters with police, but I knew they existed. So, because that was always something that was told to me, is like, I have to be careful because of the color of my skin. It wasn't anything I would do wrong. Like, my grandparents, they sent me to private school to, like, give me a better education, because where I lived wasn't the best place to grow up. And I knew that. So, it was, like, always trying to make me a smarter person so I can navigate those situations. But these people, like, unfortunately, like Elijah McClain, aren't doing anything wrong. It's just because of the color of their skin. People are abusing their power, and they want to hold us down for no other reason than just because we're not the same as them. And I, like, it doesn't make any sense to me. As a wrestler, I know that while I'm not a like huge star, I have some sort of voice. I have some people that follow me. As some people, like, I know there are kids that look up to me, and I want to be able to reach them and tell them, like, it's going to be okay, but you have to fight. You have to stand up for this stuff. Like, when I designed those shirts and I reprinted them, it was just to make all that donation or make donations for those like Black Lives Matter and things like that, because I want to help any way I can. And I feel like they're not going to help us. Like, these people higher up in offices, unless we vote for the right people, they're not going to help us. They don't care, because they're safe. They're comfortable, most of them, at least. So it's like, we have to help each other and help ourselves.
That makes sense. That makes complete sense. It's great that you donated the proceeds from your t-shirt to some worthy causes. That's fantastic. You were putting your money where your mouth is.
Yeah, that's like, it's hard, but it's also like, I understand the world we're in, and I can't let that bring me down. I just have to figure out how to bring everyone else around me up.
Well, Lee, thank you so much. What bookings do you have coming up, and where can people see you next? And how can people find you and book you and get you to Japan?
My next booking coming up would be with Paradigm Pro on July 24th for the Heavy Hitters Tournament.
I'm going to try to be there,
Chris,
man.
Chris Dickinson. Yeah. I've been trying to be careful with my bookings, like spacing them out, so if I do a show, I can quarantine or social distance myself a little bit. But as time goes on, we'll see how that goes. So, like, Paradigm's in the next one on July 24th, and the one after that I have set is Black Label Pro on August 22nd, I believe.
I'm going to see you all summer, man.
Yeah, so those are, like, what I'm trying to do. And if you want to help me get you to Japan, just tag, like, DDT Pro. Hey, say when the borders open up, just bring Lee Moriarty over for one of those shows. I'll wrestle Yoshihiko. I wrestled an inflatable doll. I put it up on Twitter. Like, I have experience fighting inflatable dolls. I don't have a problem with it. I'll fight anybody.
So if people want to find you on social media, if people want to find you or book you, how do they find you?
On social media, Instagram and Twitter, it's Apex of Combat, all one word. I try to keep it simple. Twitter or YouTube, Lee Moriarty, you can find some of my stuff on there. I'm trying to create more, I guess, out of the ring content while shows are going slow, so I'm going to get back into that now that I have more free time.
So Apex of Combat, get him to Japan. Lee, thank you so much for coming on the show, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
All right, we are here with one of the young up-and-coming stars in the Atlanta scene. I am here with Talon Oxen. Talon, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me.
Talon is not a big man by any stretch of the imagination, but he's a really talented wrestler. He's one of the young, thriving stars in the Atlanta scene. Someone I wanted to get on the show for a little while because I've seen him at AWE. He's the kind of, think Crash Holly. He's a cruiserweight who doesn't want to be a cruiserweight, but he's got the skills to prove it, man. And he's really just a great guy and someone I wanted to have. So, Talon, thank you for coming on. Tell me about how you fell in love with wrestling, man.
I really fell in love with wrestling, basically, like, watching cruiserweights, honestly, like Rey Mysterio, watching, like, guys who are, like, smaller, like, really flourish. Some of my biggest, like, inspirations, Tajiri. If I could get a match with Tajiri, that would be amazing.
He would kick the crap out of you, though, too. He lays it in, man.
Oh, man, I would lay it in, too. I understand. Tajiri is one of my inspirations. I love watching ECW Tajiri versus Super Crazy. Sure. Some of my best feud. I love that feud. Paul London, Brian Kendrick, when they were tag teams back in, what was it, SmackDown?
Yeah, SmackDown. What was that, 06, 07, something like that? That was super underrated tag team, man. Like, they were doing stuff nobody was doing. They were so good, and no one talked about them, and they were, like, just totally slept on.
So the biggest thing is because they were small. That's the biggest thing. Like, smaller guys don't get talked about, but they will steal the show just because they have to stand out somehow. Rey Mysterio had to stand out somehow. I hate his heavyweight title run just because it was purely based on Eddie. But he was like, he deserved it. He deserved the title. Oh, yeah. Honest.
Totally.
I hate that they had to put it on Eddie, but I mean, he proved that he belonged there. All the cruiserweights, the radicals, they all proved they belonged there. As much as we want to be hush hush about Chris Benoit, he belonged where he belonged. Like,
did you go back and watch old WCW too? Because I know you're younger, but like, are you one of those guys who goes back and watches tapes and stuff like that?
I always try to watch old tapes just because, like, older stuff you won't see nowadays. Older stuff is, like, kind of slept on. For me, older stuff is, like, when people are like, hey, that's when cruiserweights were live. So WCW is when cruiserweights were really live. That and ECW. Mm-hmm. But yeah, because once again, WWE didn't love cruiserweights for some because they were smaller. But I mean, they would steal the show.
Yeah, 97, 98 WCW. That's when I was like probably in my peak as a fan, and like that first hour and a half of WCW where it was like all cruiserweights. That was the best wrestling you'd find anywhere in the world.
Like. That actually made me, so my biggest shift was because I started off thinking I would have to be like, since I was smaller, I thought I have to be like a smaller flying guy. And then I watched like later Jushin Liger after his surgery. And I realized, hey, you can not really do flying stuff and still get over. Then I started looking at Tajiri and I was like, hey, you could like strike and have like a real gimmick and get over. You know? Like, yeah. You don't have to.
You can be three dimensional. You can be a wrestler, you know?
Yeah. And so like, that's the big, like, when I tell people like I prefer to work heel, they look at me like, oh, are you sure? And it's like, yeah, no. Like, because people don't normally expect smaller people to work heel because they're smaller. But I've tried to perfect it as much as I can. I mean, like, clearly I'm not going to, like, be, like, lifting up, like, you know, I don't know, like, bigger guys. But I can still work around it. Just because, like, it's something different. Like, it's something that'll get you noticed. Just because, like, and I tell, like, little guys all the time, like, you don't have to do certain things just because everybody does them. Mm-hmm. Like,
it makes you stick out.
Exactly. You have to find your own thing to stick out. And because every smaller guy is doing this. Every smaller guy is doing that. You have to find your thing.
Cause you're what I think you told me before you're what like 115 pounds or something like that.
I'm like shoot 115 ever since high school, which is like 6 years ago. I've been trying to gain weight. The max I'll go is like 120.
So you gotta stick out somehow. You know you're not gonna be. Exactly. You're not Calvin Tankman. You're not O'Shea Edwards. You know, so you gotta be.
Neither of them guys.
But that's fine. That's fine. The world needs talent options. Yeah. Like the world needs O'Shea Edwards, you know?
Exactly. This is the thing. If you can find your way to fit in, if you can find a way to like just like even if you don't fit in, just force your way in. Eventually you'll find a spot for you. Like once again, I'm at AWE. I had to work for that spot, but once I worked for it, proved I was there to stay. They saw I was loyal. They saw I was willing to do stuff. Like before I became like where I am now at AWE, I was Spike Dudley. I was straight up Spike Dudley. You can see me getting taught. Like I did a battle royal one time. I forget who tossed me out. I believe it was Montana Black. I don't remember. But I get chucked out the ring. There was supposed to be people there to catch me. I see nobody. So he, like, does a lap around to kind of, like, give them time to sail around. And come around time for him to really chuck me. He sees nobody's around. All I remember is him whispering, I'm sorry. And I was like, just throw me. He launches me. No one's around. I see a hand out. A hand catches me. But I hit like the hard. I forget where we were at the time. It was AWE, though. I hit the floor. I got eliminated like that. But I'm like, you just got to be willing to do stuff like that sometimes, you know?
And we'll talk AWE later, definitely, because I want to get into that. But so what age did you decide I want to do this? I want to become a wrestler?
I don't remember the age, really, but it was my senior year of high school. My grades were, in high school, I was really banking on me getting a scholarship as an amateur wrestler. And going to, like, Mizzou or somewhere in the Midwest. But I really didn't feel like that was going to work out. One, I dislocated my shoulder sophomore year, so I had to make that up. On top of that, I was in one of the toughest areas, so being seen, really. Because, like, Pope is amazing when it comes to wrestling.
That's in Atlanta, right? You were north of Atlanta, right?
was in North Atlanta. Yeah, I was at Riverwood High School.
Sure.
And so, what were we, like 6A or 5A, one of those? But Pope is amazing at wrestling. They always send, like, most of their, like, senior squad to, like, scholarships. Cambridge is good. Like, we had the number one, number three, and number four rated school in our areas.
Damn.
And so, like, for me, I personally thought of it as a win when I made it to state.
Yeah, no, dude, that's an accomplishment. In the state of Georgia, like, I cover it as a sports reporter. I cover Georgia and Tennessee. And, like, I know about high school wrestling in Georgia. And, like, it's legit, man. It's straight up legit.
Yeah, it's as legit as you'll get without being in the Midwest, honestly. Yeah. I was really trying to go out there, but I was like, I dislocated my shoulder at area, at sectional, and at state. But I ended up managing going to state despite me dislocating my shoulder. And so I was just like, that's a win for me. Honestly, I was the only one of my senior class to go. I was the only one of my class period to go to state that year. So that was a win for me. And just me and my buddy, we were just like, hey, we should be pro wrestlers. So we ended up looking it up, and I was like, oh man, there's a school here. He ended up doing Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. He's doing amazing right now. All props to him, because
Jiu-Jitsu's hard, man. Jiu-Jitsu's real hard.
Yeah. Like, because one of my wrestling coaches actually did Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. And, like, he would, like, use that on us, like, when we were just, like, messing around.
Tie your knots, man.
Dude, it was rough. It was rough. But it was also, so, like, I was like, all right, I'll still go out for it. So, come out of high school, I take a year off just to kind of think about it. Because at the same time, I had different avenues to go down. I took culinary for 3 years, so I could have went down that. I had Johnson and Wells asking me to apply to them, which would have been good, which would have been big, honestly, if I could have gone to Johnson and Wells for culinary. Hi, girl.
You're the one in the background. That's awesome.
Yeah, my sister's dog, actually. She comes to me whenever there's, like, fireworks and stuff out. So I could have gone to Johnson & Wells for, like, culinary, but on the side, I also love doing poetry.
That's cool.
So I would have gone to college for that, or creative writing, at least, so I can release a book or something, which I still can, but it wouldn't be as credited since I don't have a degree or anything. It'll be harder for me, but I was just like, you know what? It's a dream of mine. I might as well just try wrestling. So I did it. And, you know, I guess the rest is history at this point, you know?
So you found which school?
I found WWA 4, applied, started doing shows. One of the people who really trained me, honestly, was a man named Shadow X. Mm-hmm. And he, like, basically, he taught me all the cruiserweight stuff. Because he was a smaller guy. Interestingly enough, I was supposed to take on his gimmick and become Shadow T. I have a mask.
Oh, that's cool.
I have a mask made. But he ended up retiring. And so it was still in the works, but he ended up stopped going to the school. And then Fox took over, and I really learned under Fox. Fox really took me.
Yeah, talk about A.R. Fox's teaching. I've had, you know, Alan Angels, I've had A.C. Mack on the show, and they've talked about A.R. Fox a little bit. But talk about your experience under A.R. Fox.
So, with me and A.R. Fox, A.R. Fox, he's a great teacher in the fact that he understands the evolution of wrestling. And he can see the change, and he can help you adapt. Like, when it was very much spot fest, he would teach us, he taught us, like, all right, so this, all right, turn around, do this. Plus, Fox is trained, like, everywhere. He's worked in, like, he's worked everywhere. So he's like one of the best trainers I can see. Just taught us like, hey, this. And then when it turned more like storytelling and more psychology based, he sat down and said, hey, this is how it's turning now. And so he was able to like show us how to like adapt to that. And he could really see the change in wrestling, and he would help you adapt to it. And he's just a great teacher all around.
Yeah, one thing that I think Alan Angels told me was that, like, he said, even with the spot fest stuff, he said, make every spot happen for a reason.
Exactly. Like, always try to make it make sense. That was his big thing, was, like, kind of making it make sense. Because you wouldn't want it to be like, this happened and then this happened, but wasn't this supposed to be an issue? Like, if you're selling the leg, don't go 0 to 100. That was his biggest thing, was don't go 0 to 100. Because it doesn't really make sense.
Sure.
And so, like, for me, I really love, like, people who are like, hey, I'm going to work this body part. Because that kind of that trains you to, like, sell that body part. That trains you to, like, be like, oh, man, this is hurting. So I wouldn't run at this point. Maybe you'll start to run and you, like, stagger. So you have to alter something that you would normally do.
Well, it's like a real and fight, so, you know? If you're hurt, you're hurt.
Yeah, so, like, one of his biggest things was, like, what was it? It was health bars, thinking about health bars.
Oh, like in video games, yeah.
Yeah. And so, like, once, like, he showed me that, everything started clicking. Like, yeah, that was, like, the biggest thing was, like, hey, your health bar is going down. And then, boom, you're starting to do more stuff, so your health bar is kind of coming up. Oh, he hits you, health bar is back down. And so, like, from that, making everything make sense. Just, like, I really went from, like, thinking everything was spot fest to, like, really a more psychology-based. Which is why I kind of prefer working heel, I would say. Just because, like, since I'm smaller, I have to make everything make sense.
And you're a cruiserweight who doesn't work like a cruiserweight, so you got to factor that in as well.
Exactly. Like, I'm more like, I guess people would say I'm more like snug.
Sure.
And that's really just because, like, of my size. I kind of like, I'll tell people before matches, like, hey, don't think anything of it. I'll hit a little hard. Just because, like, my size, I have to. Like, look at me. Like, I'm small. You won't think I won't do damage. Like, if I go into a match with O'Shea and I hit him, I would really have to hit O'Shea kind of hard to, like, have you look at him like, yo, that really did something, you know? And so, like, I just kind of walked into that, like, mentality of, like, I have to kind of push a little bit more in order to be noticed, because every small guy is doing what I'm doing. But if I do something else to prove I don't just do this, will that get more eyes on me? Like,
no, that makes sense. Yeah. That makes complete sense. Yeah, you got to stick out.
Yeah.
You got to stick out somehow, and you're sticking out as a guy who, you know, may look one way but act another way.
Exactly, which is kind of how I developed. Like, I started off as doing, like, cruiserweight stuff. Then I kind of thought, like, I really don't like doing this, you know? Like, I don't really like this. And so I kind of altered myself a little to be a little darker. And then I kind of altered that to what I am now, which is kind of like how I basically am, which is kind of like, I know I'm smaller than most people, so I have to stand out somehow. I know I don't look intimidating, so I have to do certain things. And just me, myself, I love heavy metal music, and that's just like,
that's awesome.
How I am, so I'm just like, since I'm like, my heritage on my dad's side goes to Kansas City, like, so I grew up like with like Tech N9ne and stuff. Like, my entrance music is, it's changed now, but it's it's been like strange music artists. Like my first theme song, I believe that I used everywhere was Chris Calico, Dancing by Myself. Okay. Or Dancing by Myself, yeah.
Okay, sure.
But now it's Chris Calico, No No's. Just because, like, the chorus is, like, I might change it because Take 9 has a song, Industry is Punks, which is basically, like, he didn't fit in with how the radio was, but he didn't care, so he just went on with his own thing.
Sure.
I don't care what wrestling thinks about me. Like, I'll go out there, I'll prove that I can do what I do. You can choose what you want to believe, and it'll just be whatever, you know? Okay. I'll let my craft speak for itself at this point.
So the craft, you've been training, I mean, you've been a wrestler for now, I think you told me 4 years?
I'm coming up on 4 years, yes.
Cool. So you worked, the main place I've seen you work is AWE. Now that's one of the bigger establishments in the state of Georgia. They've been a pillar of the scene in the city of Atlanta. Talk about your experience there.
So AWE is interesting for me. Based on the fact, when I first started, I worked mainly in Alabama. I didn't start working AWE until Ashton Starr started bringing me. And at that point, I started doing their battle royals. And I would just be a guy to go out, get chucked out, go in, get chucked out. You know, that guy. I would be Spike Dudley of a battle royal.
Sure. But they need a Spike Dudley. Battle royals need a Spike Dudley, man. That's the most fun part.
Every battle royal needs a Spike Dudley, and it's fun. It's fun. But, you know, after a little while, you think, like, what can you do to, like, increase your value, you know? Or be seen more. So just repetition, seeing me a lot. Murder put me on for like a couple matches, and I just decided. Fox always told us, like, hey, if you're there, just show out, really. Put on the best match you can. So I'd go out, do my stuff, do as best as I can, you know? Make sure everybody goes home happy. Because at the end of the day, they bought tickets to come see some wrestling, you know?
And this is Murder so One. This is one of the owners of AWE in Atlanta. And
Murder One, yes.
How's he been as an influence to you as well? Because I know he's really, you know, taken a lot of guys under his wing and been really, he's been around and been through the business. And I know he's been a really influential part of the Atlanta scene and the Georgia scene.
So, Murder won for me. At first, I really didn't think Murder liked me, honestly.
I still don't think Murder likes me, so it's okay.
But just as time went on, I kind of felt like AWE became my home. Murder became like someone who I really like being around. And eventually, like, so now I do a show, Wrestling United. And basically for their murders, putting my word in there. That's and cool. I was just showing out there just because, like, one, I don't want to, if someone puts a word out for me, I don't want to, like, you know, make their word look like crap, you know? And then two, it's like, it's you. You shouldn't, like, want to make yourself look bad. So I've, like, really taken everything Murder said. He's really, like, once again, I sent out a post on Twitter thanking him, AWE, Josh Wheeler, for allowing me to, like, just show my stuff there. And I feel like he kind of seen the fire in me of kind of, like, being a smaller guy trying to stand out. And he gave me that shot, and I just took it. I mean, whenever someone gives you a shot, you just got to take it.
And you're definitely showing out there. You're definitely showing out there. You're one of the rising stars in AWE, and you're starting to establish yourself. Now, you're starting to branch out a little bit, too. You mentioned to me you worked a show in Tennessee since COVID. What's it been like working since COVID? Because it's got to be a little different, a little weird.
For me, honestly, it's weird in the sense that, like, you're kind of, like, on edge, really, but not really, because you understand everybody who's there loves wrestling. Like, everybody in the locker room, that is. Everybody there loves wrestling. Some of the people, this is their life. And it's just, like, just really, like, because for me, I work a shoot job, but I want wrestling to be my main thing. And it's just, like, just to see, like, everybody's here just because they love the business. It's inspiring, honestly. So, like, I was happy to be back in the ring. I thought I'd be rusty. Luckily, it was just a battle royal, so nobody saw how rusty I probably was. But I did my best to show out. Just had fun, you know?
What was the environment like? You know, were people on edge because of the virus? Where it's like, you know, how are people approaching things like virus wise?
What do you mean, like people as in like the like
wearing,
fans
wearing masks and the fans and the distancing and all that sort of stuff? How has that environment changed?
So I really didn't see the change, which is a little scary. Sad.
Yeah, it's a little scary.
Yeah, just because, like, once again, it's something that you don't know you might have. But, like, honestly, wrestler-wise, I kind of don't mind because I'm like, we already put our body on the line, honestly.
Yeah.
So, like,
you're risking it anyways, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, I kind of, like, look at people like, but I'm like, at the same time, we do risk our lives anyway. But the fan-wise, it's like, guys, you guys just come out to see the show. You guys can do a little bit more, you know? You
see, I was at a show last night, and everyone in the crowd had a mask on. So that was like, that felt good. It's like, okay, good.
Yeah.
These people are being smart. So it's disappointing to hear that, like, there's shows out there where, like, no one's wearing a mask. Like, I saw, like, reports of some shows. And I went to a show last weekend where everyone wore a mask and, like...
Yeah.
So, like, they're out there. It's just, I guess it's what show you go to, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, like, honestly, for me, like... For me, it's like, if you, it's weird, because, like, for me, I'm like, I'm on the stance of, like, well, just me personally, I've been through a lot, and I'm just like, you know what, if it's my time, it's my time. But at the same time, like, I'm not trying to get other people sick, so
yeah.
If I'm going, it's just me, you know?
Sure.
But at the same time, it's just like, you have to think about other people, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I have a mask in my car. I try to wear it whenever I go out places. Sometimes I'll forget just because, you know, I'm dumb. But I'll try my best to, like, wear it. But, like, at work, I don't really wear it because, you know, like, they say, like, the heat might have something to, like, stop it. And that's kind of been shown. But at the same time, I'm not trying to risk it, you know?
Yeah. No, I feel you.
So, yeah, I wear my mask out in, like, public, but, like, at work, at home.
No, I feel you.
Yeah.
So, switching topics a little bit, you know, just because you have an experience that I don't have, you know, as a young black man, you know, you've lived a very different life than I have as an old, old white man. So, you know, obviously things have happened in the last month or so, you know, racially around this country. Wanted to sort of get your opinions and your thoughts and let you kind of have a forum a little bit. You know, what have you thought about what's been going on in the country in the last month, you know, in regards to the murder of George Floyd and the protests going on and things like that?
Interesting you bringing it up. If you go to my Facebook, I've already done this, so I'm not doing this again. No, I'm just kidding.
No. I'll let you plug at the end.
No, just everything that's been happening, like, honestly, like, I'm not really one of the people who are surprised about it, because of the simple fact, it's honestly not something new. If you look in the past, like, the murdering of black people, the murdering of minorities, period, based on racial bias, has not been something that's anything new. But honestly, it's something that's kind of been covered up. because you can say like, oh, they were doing this, they were doing that. Just the fact that like, as a country, we're kind of coming together against it, and we're kind of dividing the country yet again, kind of civil war-ish. It's enlightening to see that we're trying to take steps forward, mm-hmm. but at the same token, it's also like sickening that we're still dealing with this, you know?
Yeah.
Is this what the Civil War was fought over? Was for rights for like people?
Yeah, that was 1860. Right. Yeah, I know. That was a long time ago. Yeah.
Exactly. And we're still dealing with it. So it's sickening that we're still dealing with it, but it's really enlightening that we're actually kind of forcing it more. The only thing is just don't let out. That's my main thing is don't let out, because as soon as you start letting out, that's when they release like the McRib or something. Take your eyes off of it. Jesus Christ. Like the fact that everybody, like me personally, I won't go to protests just for the simple fact you don't know if it'll turn into like a riot or something, which I follow kind of Dr. King's words of like the riots, they're a necessary evil, but it's something I won't openly support.
Sure.
You know, I understand there's something that needs to happen. It needs to happen. They're the voice of the unheard. But at the same token, I also go off the fact you're giving them a reason to react. That was my whole issue with the riots and everything. You sure. Give them a reason to react. And you don't give people a reason to react, because then they get to be like, oh, look, they did this, they did that, they did this. Give them an excuse. Don't give them an excuse. Like, you know, just don't give them an excuse. Just be peaceful. Say your piece. If they shoot off, you know what? They did it. They weren't enticed in any way, shape, or form. You can touch that how you want. But, you know, it's you. You're just doing your thing. You're trying to get, like, something that really was stated that should be given, you know, equal, being equal to each other. So, yeah. Like, honestly, personally, I haven't had, like, things against me because I'm black, really. I do have German heritage, and I had that touched upon more, which is weird to say.
Interesting.
I've been called a Nazi more than, like...
Really?
I've been called... Yes. And that's weird to me.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I had this kid just, like, in high school, just randomly, like, oh, what are you, a Nazi or something? I'm like, no, my family's just German. Like my great-grandmother left Germany through Russia. Through Alaska to come to... She's in North Dakota right now. Like, she left during Hitler's reign.
Like, she got out, yeah. She got exactly. out.
And I'm like, dude, like, what are you trying to accomplish here?
Jeez.
So, yeah, I've had that touched upon more, but once again, as wrestling's being more exposed... It's just opening my eyes more. I'm just like, I need to watch out for... We have to watch out for each other. Everybody has to watch out for each other. Like, somebody made a post. I forgot who. I wish I could remember. But they made a post about... Somebody contacted him about being a black talent on their show. And they declined it. And that was the right move, honestly, because you don't want to be a statistic in that standpoint. Because it's like, at that point, it's like they're just trying to get their numbers up just to be like, hey, look, we're not racist.
Yeah, tokenism's bad.
Yeah, it's really bad. So it's just like, just look out for each other, you know?
Sure.
Just work shows that you know are just about wrestling, you know?
Yeah.
The thing we're all here for.
The thing that should give us happiness.
Yeah, you know? But honestly, not as of right now. Wrestling is like, oh, wrestling is weird right now.
It's a really weird, depressing, miserable time right now.
It really is. Yeah, I'm seeking the joy in it, but I'm really like, it's weird. Yeah, it's weird. It's kind of hard because like people you look up to. And it's just right now. This week
nearly broke me, man.
Yeah.
It nearly broke me.
Same.
So, on happier topics. on happier topics. One last question before we let you go. As a bald man, you have some of the best hair in wrestling. What do you do?
Really? You can say that?
It's fantastic, man. As a bald man who can't grow hair, your hair is awesome.
I'm going to be honest. This is just natural hair. I just call this being mixed.
Dude, it's awesome.
My dad is white. My mom is black. So this is just the hair that I get.
Dude, it's fantastic. If you guys haven't seen Talon, Talon's got a look, man. You guys should look him just for his look because he's got fantastic hair. It is awesome. He's got a great look. He will bring a great look to your show and great wrestling too. So, you guys should definitely book Talon Oxen on your shows if you guys are in the Southeast or wherever Talon is traveling to. So,
I travel everywhere. I want to travel everywhere. Honestly, if you want to, I'll go around the world if you want me. Let's do it.
So, Talon, if people want to book you, how do they get in touch with you?
You can get in touch with me on Facebook at Talon Robinson. On Twitter, it's Talon Oxen. If you do Instagram, I know it's rare, but if you do Instagram, I post a lot of stuff on Instagram. I try to.
Because you're young.
You know, I'm young. I'm trying. I'm not with all the fat. I was an outcast in school, so I'm still trying to catch up. So on Instagram, I'm Talon_Oxen, I believe.
Sure.
If you see the picture, you'll be like, hey, that guy looks like a wrestler. but really, it'd be just on Talon Robinson on Facebook, honestly. I respond more there.
Sure. Well, Talon, thank you so much for coming on the show. We appreciate it. You're definitely one to watch as an up-and-coming talent. And hope to see you at the next show, man.
Oh, thank you for having me, dude. Like, I haven't done something like this in a while. I thought it was gonna be awkward. It's relaxing. It's relaxing.
This is good, man. This is good.
Thank you for having me. I'm trying to go everywhere. If I see you somewhere, like, you know,
big bro hug, man.
Big bro hug.
Thanks, Talon. I appreciate it, man.